From Everbank Field in Jacksonville, this is Jaguars.com Live. A weekly look inside the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. Jaguars.com Live starts right now.
And we start off with a look inside Everbank Field. The 2016 season and postseason are officially over. We're a couple of months away from the South End being done at Daly's Place. And then before you know it, football on the field again. Welcome into Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank. JP Shadrick, Brian Sexton.
You're kind of a music guy. Aren't you looking forward to Daly's Place opening?
I think everybody is, right?
Oh, I'm excited to see it.
It's going to be awesome, man.
Yeah, I walk out there. I try to make a couple of laps around the concourse in the off season during the day, and I don't make many because I stand there and watch those steel workers putting it together, and it is a complex jigsaw puzzle, and they are constantly adding pieces. The architecture of it is stunning, and I can't figure it out, but I like it. It will be something that people will just love to look at.
Unbelievable. And a lot of the shows that were announced a week or two ago are starting to go on sale now, which is exciting to see the seat maps and all that online. We haven't had a chance to see a lot of that. So it's real. It's coming quick. Memorial Day weekend.
I think you're planning on being at every show, aren't you?
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
Even if you have to buy tickets?
Yeah,
all
sure.
Right, there you go.
Yeah, I'll see you there, right?
No. But I'll be there for a couple. Yeah, the one I'm disappointed about is Zach Brown. That's the week we go to London. Yeah. We'd love to see that.
Going to London that day. So, we'll take that.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
As long as we come back with a win from London again for the third straight year. Plenty to get to today. Super Bowl talk. Tony Boselli talk. We'll wrap that up. And then a few big names are coming up for a decision for the Jaguars. Do they cut bait on some of these guys, or do they keep fishing in the same pond? We'll get to that. Let's start off with the Super Bowl, though. We're a little bit late to this party. It's been talked about and talked about, but what an unbelievable game in Houston. 34-28, the final in overtime. A 28-3 deficit. The biggest deficit in playoff history, certainly, and one of the biggest in NFL history, and the Patriots get it done.
You know, no one is going to talk about that. The game that previously was mentioned as that great comeback when the Bills came from behind against the Oilers in the division round back in the early 90s. That is now forever lost because this game is so epic. I will tell you, I didn't see the game until 28-3 in the third quarter. I was at a weekend retreat, and I was out of town, and I got back, and I turned on the TV. It was 28-3. I said, well, this one's done, right? And so decided I'd clean up and go to bed, and then my phone exploded midway through the fourth quarter and said, are you watching? So I did, and no one should be surprised that Tom Brady is able to mount a comeback, but he got help. Dont'a Hightower with the fumble, Kyle Shanahan with the questionable decision on abandoning the running game that's been so productive for them.
God bless the Edelman catch down the field. Unbelievable.
Yeah, exactly. So, but you leave him just a crack, and that's all it takes.
Yep.
Just a crack, and he went running through it. I can't say anything that hasn't been said by everybody all week long, but I can't get out of my head that he was a sixth-round compensatory pick, and they weren't even sure they wanted him. You know, they weren't even sure what he was. He was there because, you know, he wasn't the best physical specimen at the time, and he wasn't the guy that blew you away in the interviews or at the whiteboard. And that's why he slid all the way down there. And yet, no one could measure his heart, his competitive desire, and his quest, his thirst to win. And it's epic. And the Jaguars have never beaten him. And I have long admired just the way he makes plays when almost no one else would.
Yeah, and the last time the Jaguars faced the Patriots didn't punt in the game. They scored on every possession and then took a knee. That's how it went in Foxborough.
I'll never forget 2007 here. The Jaguars went up there and they had a 16-0 Patriots team across the way. And they knew that they didn't have much pass rush. That 0-7 defense was powered by Maurice Jones-Drew and Fred Taylor, which kept them on the sidelines. There wasn't a lot of pass rush on that team. But Mike Smith's game plan was to keep everything in front of him and make Tom Brady go down the field and make a mistake somewhere, short underneath stuff. Yeah. He went 26 of 28 and did not make a mistake, right? You know, Dennis Northcutt and Matt Jones each had a chance to win the ball game in the fourth quarter, but couldn't. But the story of that ball game was Tom Brady didn't make a mistake.
That's right.
They were drops. The two that he didn't complete were drops. Magnificent. That was 10 years ago, and he's still playing at an incredibly high level.
That's amazing. Yeah, that's obviously the big story for the Patriots and the coaching and all that. But they bring in players that can just jump into a spot when a guy's hurt. Gronkowski's hurt late in the season. Here comes Bennett, who plays a big role in the postseason for them, and he's about to get paid a lot of money this offseason, it sounds like.
Maybe not by the Patriots.
They won't pay that.
No, yeah. Well, they've already got Gronkowski under contract.
The wide receiver who played well a couple of weeks ago, all
Chris
of a sudden
Hogan.
Was out of
yeah.
nowhere.
Yeah.
The running back who had the huge game, 3 touchdowns in the Super Bowl, White. That guy was really out of nowhere, too. But they've done that for years. Plug and play guys, because when you have the quarterback playing at such a high level and the offense set like it is, that's how it works.
Well, they've always been willing to part with guys that most teams wouldn't. They traded Richard Seymour away when he was absolutely in the prime of his career. And they did it again this year with the pass rusher that they traded to Arizona. And Collins that they traded to Cleveland. I mean, they're just not scared to make moves. And it's easy to be courageous when you have number 12 back there calling things out. He's won with Randy Moss, right?
Yeah.
And he won with Troy Brown. There may never be another one like him.
Not anytime soon.
Now, of course, they said that about Joe Montana, right? They said that about Terry Bradshaw. You know, they said that about Bart Starr. They said it about Otto Graham. Yep. You know, who's one of the greats of all time, and we forget about what he was able to do the first 6 seasons from 1950 on, that the Browns made the move from the All-American Football Conference to the NFL. I mean, he was lights out, couldn't touch him. So, you know, there will possibly be another one, but he is that rare combination, and, you know, life's pretty good for him right now.
I would say so, all facets for Tom Brady. Speaking of Hall of Fame, you know, Tom Brady's going to go to the Hall of Fame first ballot. Well, the big storyline last week with the Jaguars at the Super Bowl was chasing Tony Boselli. Would he make the Hall of Fame? He was in the finals. Reportedly was in the top 10 in the room, which is a huge step for him. Did not make the final cut. LaDainian Tomlinson, Terrell Davis, Kurt Warner, Morton Anderson, Jason Taylor got in. Also Jerry Jones and Kenny Easley. You know, next year his chances are, I think, even higher just because of the math. There are a few guys, though, that are slam dunk votes next year. Ray Lewis
and Randy Moss.
Randy Moss. Urlacher could be another one.
I don't think he's a slam dunk, but he's certainly he's a Hall of Fame player for the way that he played, for the longevity that he had. Yep. You know, he came into the league, you know, safety, linebacker, you need a fullbacker, tight end. I mean, he's a throwback Gordy Lockbaum kind of player. And so, yeah, I agree with that. Boselli is a lock in my mind.
Next year.
Well, I mean, no, not next year. Yeah. Because they liked – look, he got farther this year than I thought that he would. I will tell you, if he had played 10 years instead of 7, he's a first-ballot Hall of Famer. His talent was extreme.
Yes.
And when you saw the tape that was pulled out of him against Derek Thomas, Sean Jones, Bruce Smith, Jason Taylor, who got in, Tony kicked all of their butts.
And Taylor said it on the record last week that he got abused.
Look. Jason Taylor was a borderline Hall of Famer in my mind. If he gets in, really good player, great football player, but I didn't think he was a Hall of Famer, right? But if he gets in, Tony Boselli absolutely belongs in. First ballot, slam dunk, Ray Lewis kind of will be in next year if he had played 10 years. He's not. But when you watch, look, and the voters are smart guys, and they've got criteria that's been established over the years. But I turn on the tape and I watch him against the very best. I remember a game here in 1997 where Derek Thomas came in after having 5.5 or 6 sacks the week before. He didn't have a tackle. He wasn't even on the stat sheet. And Tony was by himself. And, of course, people heard Tom when he was talking about it and the story that came out. But you just – that was Derek Thomas. And I grew up watching Derek Thomas in Kansas City.
Well,
as an Alabama guy.
Absolutely.
And I remember him shut him down. Alfred Williams against the Broncos. It didn't matter who they put there. Tony took them out of the game. He is an extreme talent. He is a first-ballot Hall of Fame kind of guy. So what is he battling? Well, he's battling the voters who think, well, you have to have, you know, so many years. Show me where it says it has to be that way. Dwight Stevenson is in, right? 5 years as the center for the Dolphins. He's in.
And to that point, a couple of guys that made it this year had shorter careers. Terrell Davis and Kenny Easley played shorter than Tony.
Right. And the Davis thing I discount because he's a running back and they have the shortest career. But the Kenny Easley thing I throw in there. And there were some people that were, you know, well, you've got two guys on shortened careers that are going to absolutely make it this year, so Boselli can't. Forget that. Just judge the talent. Put on the tape and show me what he did against the best of the best, and he took them out. So does he make it next year? Well, if I had a vote, yeah. Yeah, he makes it next year. I can't predict that. Neither can he. You know, neither for that matter could the Peter Kings and the guys that supported him. Really went to the bat. And Vito Stellino did a tremendous job, I'm told, of lobbying and writing letters and explaining. And And Vito's been around this league 6 decades. He has seen the best of the best, and he knows it. So I'll say Boselli will be in the next 3 years, but he should be in right now. He is a first ballot Hall of Fame talent. You don't have to argue for those guys. It's just, oh, Tony's in, he's there. But the shoulder keeps him on the list, and yep, he has to go for it. And I guess we'll go through all the hullabaloo next year in Minneapolis, but Tony Boselli is absolutely a Hall of Famer.
I'll tell you what, though, it's fun to watch it. It's the first time we've had a chance to see it for this organization, a person in that room.
Yeah,
and it's a cool week.
And it will be big when he puts that, you know, that gold jacket on. And Tom Coughlin will be. And it may happen when he's still here. You know, I think he's got a 3-year contract, and he's got 4 years left on his clock before he could go in as a, you know, Giants head coach, obviously, for the Super Bowls. But, you know, he got a lot of renown for what he did here in the early days, building this thing up. You know, you could have a couple of guys wearing the gold jackets. What might be more fun is the Boselli and the Coughlin things are no-brainers. To really get into the weeds, go into the Jimmy Smith and Fred Taylor arguments now. Again, both of them have Hall of Fame talent, but again, there's a lot of running backs who had big playoff games, and Fred didn't have as many of those. And then you have Jimmy, who's going against the Randy Mosses of the world. I mean, we are in the golden age of receivers, and so Jimmy's got an uphill fight to be involved in the conversation. But Hall of Fame talent? Yeah, absolutely.
It's a conversation that will continue next season before the Super Bowl. I'm sure the process begins anew. You have to get into the semifinals, into the finals, but certainly if you're in the top 10, you have a pretty good shot at getting there again. Let's move ahead now. The Jags, coming up the next few weeks, have some very important dates. Joel Corey of CBSSports.com on Monday had an article that came out. The most important key dates for each team in this offseason coming up. There were two Jaguars mentioned in his article. One of those was Julius Thomas. The other was Kelvin Beachum. We'll start off with Julius. The story was called Agents Take, 2017 NFL offseason key dates for each team. And it said Julius Thomas is due $3 million guaranteed if he's on the roster this Friday. Should he be, or do you cut bait and fish somewhere else?
I pay him. He is.
You do?
I do. I absolutely pay him. Look, he played 22 games and had 9 touchdowns, right? And this year he had a quarterback that didn't play well. I mean, let's just face it. He didn't play well. He was unhappy, and some people think he was the guy that made the leak. I forget whether it was ESPN or whether.
Christina Anderson.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, and made that. Okay, whatever. This is a team that has some talented players. They need more. You don't cut talented players. You just don't. For this team, $3 million, they're not up against the cap. Look, they've got $65, $66 million of cap room, and I could make 60 more right now if I needed to. So it's not an issue. You pay him. I don't know what Tom thinks, but I know he always liked to have that tight end in his offense. Doug is probably the same way, although I haven't had this conversation with him.
A receiving-type tight end.
A guy who's a mismatch tight end.
Okay.
Right? I mean, he's not the inline blocker. You still have Mercedes, who I believe will be back. I mean, he's at a workable number, $4 million.
Sure.
Julius is a guy I absolutely bring back because he's that mismatch. If your quarterback comes back and plays well, and if you give him Leonard Fournette or Dalvin Cook as a running back in the top 10, trust me, I'm all fired up about that. But you give him a play action game, that allows Hearns, Marquise Lee, who probably is the best receiver on this team right now, from start to finish. I mean, he's just electrifying. And Allen Robinson is right there.
Right there. Yeah.
I mean, those two are tremendous. It's a complete mismatch. You don't find those guys in the draft. Yep. I mean, you'd argue, well, he was undrafted. Yeah, he was. And was he created by Peyton Manning? Yeah, he was. But he created or exposed, one way or the other, he's 6'5", 255, who runs the seam. I find him to be a professional in my dealings with him, and a $3 million bonus payment is not so prohibitive that I don't want that guy in camp.
He's been banged up. Remember, missed 4 games his first year at the early part of the season.
Well, and they're going to have some idea.
Had the back injury last year.
Yeah, and they're going to have some idea where he's at.
Yep.
You know, before they make that payment. You know, there's talk right now about do they make the option year payment to Blake Bortles, which is $18 million. Some people say that's an absolute no-brainer.
They've got to determine that, I think, by
May,
right?
Well, if that's the case, $18 million for a quarterback who's coming off that year, right? Well, then $3 million for Julius Thomas is a no-brainer.
You've
got to
give him a tool to throw to.
Yeah,
sure.
He is a prolific talent. You don't let those guys go. Even if you decide at some point you don't want him here, boy, there's some teams out there that are looking for guys like that. You might be able to turn it. He's an asset to this organization, and assets aren't given away. They're leveraged on the field or on draft day.
That's a target for Blake Bortles, but you got to protect the quarterback too. And Kelvin Beecham's date is coming up. February 15th, the date to determine whether you want to take the option for the rest of his contract. $5 million apparently required to pick up the 2017 through 20 contract years for $40 million. That would make the 17 and 18 salaries guaranteed for him, $7.5 and $8.5 million reportedly. Do you take the left tackle, Kelvin Beecham?
I do. He played pretty well.
Even with the bad knee.
Well, and look, people don't know. I'm on the sidelines these days, and so I'm watching him. And he would come to the sidelines and put ice on that knee. And there were moments that were rough for him, but he gutted it out.
He kept on going.
He's a highly competitive. He's a top competitor. He is a highly intelligent and committed football guy, loves the game of football. That is a fair number for a very good left tackle. And if he makes the progress that he told me he thought he would this offseason, then absolutely. Conversation with Doug before the season was done. They were very happy with the way he played, considering he was still working his way back from the ACL from the 15 season. I can't see any way that they don't. And besides this, you don't have a left tackle. And it's not a good draft for left tackles. And, you know, it's not like you can go, well, let's put Luke Jokel back in there. Well, who knows whether he'll be ready with that knee. Absolutely. Yeah. He may not be around, or he may not be ready, even if you do decide to give him a contract. So Beecham is not just a guy that you like to have. He's a guy you need to have. And I would anticipate that this year will be much more towards his caliber of talent, because he's a year removed from the knee injury, because I thought he played pretty well. And I think Jeff Loggemans probably told you on your radio show that he played well, blocked really well last year. Yeah. So you'll take really well with the bad knee and hope that it becomes outstanding
really good, right,
when he's further along in his process.
It's really cool to see him off the field this offseason, too. We know he's been active in the Jacksonville community a lot, but he helped his parents get a new home in Mejia, Texas on the TV show this year. So he's been active, and it's really cool to see.
And we know this. We met him last year when we did the show at the restaurant.
That's
over,
right.
Black Sheep. Over in the Riverside area. He is a tremendous human being. I mean, he's the kind of guy that every coach wants 53 of. You don't find them. He is the closest thing to Paul Posluszny in that locker room that I can find.
Well, that's a pretty good compliment.
And he deserves it. He deserves it. There's a lot of really great guys in that locker room. There are a couple that stand above, and I put him on that level.
Let's finish up with Jared Odrick. March 13th is the deadline for him. That's a Monday. The Monday after free agency starts, by the way. March 9th is that date. The negotiation period is March 7th through 9th, but at 4 o'clock Eastern time in the afternoon on Thursday, March 9th, free agency begins. So March 13th, $5.5 million is guaranteed of Jared Odrick's 2017 salary. He had shoulder issues, some other issues
concussion.
In his lower body, a concussion. If he's not on the team, it's $8.5 million savings. Do you keep him?
Probably not. But then I don't know what Todd Walsh is going to do with the defensive front.
That's a big question.
And here's why. So his paragraph 5, which is his base salary, is $6.5 million next year. And so you're essentially guaranteeing it when you give him $5.5 on the 13th. Hasn't been able to stay healthy.
Yep.
Is an interesting personality.
Yes.
He doesn't necessarily, let's put it this way. He's a pot that needs a specific lid, right? Not every pot's the same shape, same height. You got to have the right pot and lid together for him. And so I'm not sure that he fits Tom Coughlin and Doug Marrone's, you know, school of football thought. He is out there. I like him. I like his personality.
Yeah, sure.
But I don't know that he fits here. And at $8.5 million on the cap, if you don't pay him that option bonus, that's $8.5 clear. Again, you can keep him. If you think 6'5", you know, 285 pounds, and he's not a bad player.
First-round draft pick.
Yeah, and he, you know, he had 5.5 sacks 2 years ago when he was healthier all season long. But it's just, you know, what are they going to do in the draft? What if they decide we're going to take Jonathan Allen from Alabama, who's likely to be there at 4. If we take him, we don't need to pay $8.5 million because his number is probably going to be something like 4, right? So it's a trade-off system. You know, they want to do some different things. They probably want to have Roy Miller back, right? Don't know for sure. But if that is the case, then you've got Avery Jones you need to pay as well. So it becomes how much money can you pour into the defensive line? And at some point, $8.5 million back for a guy who wasn't able to stay healthy and may or may not fit your coach's personality, you may not go with that.
It starts, though, with what scheme is it going to be? We haven't had that answer yet.
You know, I don't know
if we will.
Here's the pro for Jared, right? Yeah. Smart guy. Maybe too smart, but smart guy. And he can play the three in certain situations. You know, that quick get up the field guy. It's not his every down position.
In a pinch, he can get there.
Well, you can put him at the zero because he's such a big guy and strong and can anchor in. You know, he can play the five, and in rare cases, if you need him to play the seven here and there, you know, he can give you something. But $8.5 million is a lot of money, and you have a defensive line with guys that you hope you have to pay in 2 years. It may be time to move on.
Interesting.
This is just banter because you don't know what they think.
No idea.
I can tell you what I think Tom Coughlin might think based on how I know him, or you know what little I know of Doug Marrone, what I think he might think, or what Dave Caldwell from the years that he's been here. Yeah. But now you've got an interesting dynamic, and we can't qualify this, right? But what you've got is you've got three guys all working together now on this, and the arguments that they make and the things that they value will all come into play. It's the first offseason working together. I'm just guessing. Keep Julius. Give Jared an opportunity to hit the free agent market.
It'll be an interesting few weeks. And I think that tone was set that we might not get a lot of public talking about this when Tom Coughlin said it at the state.
But I do want to add, 2 weeks ago, I sat with Dave Caldwell in Mobile when we were there for the Senior Bowl. Yeah. And asking him about this, he was like, there's really no reason to do it, right? Good players. And Jared Odrick is a good player. And Julius Thomas is a very good player. Mm-hmm. You don't want to get rid of those guys. I mean, this roster has been bereft of really good players for a long time. They're kind of stacking them up now. They've got some exciting young talent. Don't make the move for the salary reason only, because you don't have to. Qualify the talent in that decision as well and decide whether either one of them or both of them or one of them can really help you. Mm-hmm. And don't get rid of them. And it kind of drives me crazy when the fans start talking about salary like it's their cash, right? And my kids do that to me, too. $8.5 million is a lot of money, Dad. Are you paying it? Right? Are you paying it? No. Right. If they're willing to pay because they think he can do it, go for it. Right? You don't need to have $100 million under the cap to be able to be creative and aggressive.
And you have to spend some money at some point. That's just how it works.
And they do because they don't have a quarterback they have to pay. The moment you have to write a $22 to $25 million check for a quarterback, changes the dynamic. All of a sudden now, you don't go into the offseason signing guys and overpaying. You don't have to do that anymore, but you got to get the quarterback right.
So
isn't that always about it? On the field, in the cap room, it's always
absolutely
about the quarterback.
You got to save room for that, or you won't have a lot of success on the field. Hey, it's good to be back on the horse today.
All right. How you feel?
Oh, like $1 million after taxes. Yeah.
Wow.
I do.
I need to get that surgical procedure done, man. And there's nothing wrong with it.
Good to see you, man.
Good to see you.
Brian Sexton.
Welcome back.
For our entire crew, Max Hockman, Dave DeCandis, Joe Fortunato, I'm JP Shadrick. Thank you for watching today. Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank.